listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, open our hearts to receive your word, your Emmanuel, into our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. It's a tough one. Abednego, yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a knee by refusing to take a knee. They were ordered to bow down to the golden idol, the symbol of the most powerful nation in the world at that time, and they decided to sit that one out, to take a knee. They decided to break the law peacefully and say no to the king. And they were ready to face whatever consequences might be for their protesting deeds. I can't help but think about Colin Kaepernick here, the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, right, who decided to take a knee during the national anthem last year, 2016. Of course, we remember this. He was not commanded to bow down to the state, which is this story. I don't think these are the same. But rather, as Kaepernick states, he was making a protest against racial injustice across the nation. And whether you support him or not, I'm guessing we can all agree that Kaepernick knew well that there would be serious consequences for his actions. Protesting is always inconvenient, disruptive, even infuriating, as we've seen, and it's always calculated. It often has dire consequences for the protester. It is definitely not a perfect parallel here with our Bible story, but there are some things that are the same between number 7, Kaepernick, and these Old Testament 3. Mainly, they all knew that their protest would have dire consequences. In Kaepernick's case, it could mean his football career, although his numbers were slipping too. But as of this year, he's not been picked up. In Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's case, it meant their lives too, but this time, it was literally their lives. It meant the fiery furnace. Both are cases of taking a knee for what they believed in and facing the consequences. And can you believe that King Nebuchadnezzar was so juvenile, so insecure, that he not only felt he needed to kill these three little protesters, the story says, he was so insulted or threatened by them that he wanted to flex his power, and he turned up the flames, it says, 7 times hotter than it needed to be. 7's a holy number, interestingly. Can you imagine a leader so insecure? He is the most powerful man in the world. Why give these powerless foreigners, these little Jews, in the midst of the Babylonian world superpower, any attention at all? Who cares about what they think or what they do or who they worship, who they take a knee for? Who cares? Well, the difference is it was not a free country back then. Friends in Christ, this is a powerful, inconveniently political incarnation and resurrection story. Right smack in the Old Testament, deep, deep back there in our Old Testament texts, and right smack at the beginning of Advent. Are you ready? They committed an act of civil disobedience. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were foreigners. They were Jews in captivity in Babylon. By the way, those names that are so hard to pronounce were forced on them. Those are Babylonian names. They were given Hebrew names, and they were told, you can't have those names. We're going to give you these Babylonian names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine if someone just told you, that's not your name. I'm going to change it to what represents the empire. They're now being asked to bow down to what was for them a false god, a statue of the state, and they refused. How are you being asked to pay homage, at least, if not commanded to bow down and worship false gods in our nation, in our world, in our communities these days? Are there any parallels to this powerful story of protesting and faith in your life? Even in the face of immense power and intimidation that is all included in this story, there is still humor. I mean, this is a funny text, actually, the way that it's written. You can almost hear the prophet Daniel smirking as he narrates the pomp and circumstance of Babylon, can't you? I, the king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, and the entire musical ensemble shall fall down and worship the golden statue. What's that? They're not doing it? Bring them here. I, the king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, the entire musical ensemble, shall fall down and worship the golden statue. So I will give you one chance. When you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, and the entire musical ensemble, comedy is resistance too. And as soon as the king is mocked, as I believe Daniel does, as soon as the glorious empire becomes the butt of jokes, as soon as writers and artists in the land start smirking, even with incredible power, the powers lose real power. And what do Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego respond calmly in this text? O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. It's like a prelude to Jesus standing before Pilate. Remember that? Don't you know I have the power to kill you? Oh, Pilate, you have no power over me, Jesus responds in protest and in peace. Nebuchadnezzar goes through the roof when they respond like that. He fires up the oven 7 times hotter. It's like to match his anger. And he throws his biggest, toughest guards at them to wrap them up and throw them into the pit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, meanwhile, are not shaken in the least. God gives us the courage to do what is right, sisters and brothers in Christ. What if that even means an act of civil disobedience? I say that because Martin Luther King Jr. refers to this text in his famous letter to the Birmingham jail. And Martin Luther of Germany, he talks about this too. We've really been studying Martin Luther, especially his small catechism in our Bible study this fall. Those of you who have been part of it know that. We've been going through Luther's small catechism. And just this last Monday in our chapter, we talked about taking a peaceful stand even against the state if it is in conflict with the gospel. I just want to read a section from that passage for you. In relatively rare cases, it's from this book here, by heart. This was kind of our textbook and our reference book as we went through. So I'm reading a section from this. In the relatively rare cases where Christians need to defy the law in order to follow God, the Lutheran reformers pointed to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We must obey God rather than human authority. This scriptural conscience clause supports people standing up for what is right and faithful. This obedience to the gospel was the basis for Luther's resistance. As a theologian and pastor, he believed that he and all Christians need to be accountable to the Bible and the wider church. He did not advocate violent actions against priests or church leaders or others, although he disobeyed Emperor Charles by continuing to teach. Luther repeatedly emphasized his desire for peace. In the decades that followed, Luther and his co-workers often appealed to Emperor Charles for the legal right to reform their churches in peaceful, gospel-centered ways. The book goes on, citizenship remains a rich way to live out Christian faith. When we pay taxes, encourage good government and public service, work to curb injustice, and support fair living conditions for all. Does this sound like Luther's small catechism, his explanations, and our baptismal covenants when we gather around the font? When we pay taxes, encourage good government and public service, work to curb injustice, and support fair living conditions for all, we are promoting public peace, helping people get their daily bread, and caring unconditionally for the neighbors around us. End quote. God always calls us to stand up in the face of injustice. And finally, the great power in this story is that God is with them through the fire. God doesn't get them out of the fiery furnace. Did you notice that? But God is with them through it. This is the incarnation. This is the celebration of Advent. God stays with us through the flames. God draws near to us, sisters and brothers in Christ. In these dark days, in these winter months, God promises not to get us out of the fiery furnaces of our knee-taking for the gospel, but God promises to be with us through that time and through the consequences that may follow. What are you being called to stand up for? Or kneel down for? How is God calling you to trust ever more in this Advent season? For God draws near to us. God does not abandon us in our trials and challenges. Hope is still alive. Jesse's stump, remember? A shoot comes from the stump of Jesse. God is with us through the flames. God blesses us and keeps us. And at the last, we too will live like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even if we die, we too will stand with one another in the morning, in the bliss of God's everlasting arms. On that bright shore, we know that God raises us up too, lifts us to life and life abundant even now. Even today, just knowing how our story ends, as we do, as Christian people, just knowing how our story ends, we too can live and work and act and pray with joy and peace, even amid the evil threats and powers of this day. God is with us. Watch, prepare, rejoice, behold. Will you pray with me? God, give us the courage to stand up or kneel down for what is right. And thank you for never leaving us as we do. Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!